To be or not to, Shursho Borathas, translated by Jacob Rogers. So, Shisto's boy fixed up the house. She had announced herself by banging on the door with an open fist, and those were her first words, open-fisted. At noon, I was a ghost. I hadn't washed up or eaten, my head was throbbing, I was hunched over, the light hurt my eyes, and my breath stank. My breath always stinks in the morning. It's something with my stomach. Sometimes I put my hand in front of my mouth and exhale to disgust myself, but I wanted to be friendly with my neighbor. I would get nothing out of slamming the door in my visitors' faces without any provocation. Not protecting my territory right from the start, however, could have some god-awful consequences. Just like tragedies and cherries in a basket, stories never come by themselves, especially not the unreal ones. Come in and see the house. No need to stand outside. Can I help you with anything? The spider had decided to claim its prisoner. At this point, I hadn't yet discovered that the red slug was carnivorous, that it had coiled around the common snail, cracked its shell, swallowed its head, starting with the eye stalks, and was now sucking it up with its tentacles sunken into the snail's insides. Such puritanism. You want to help me? You always want to help me. With what? She said this as she wiped the dirt off her hands and kicked her boots on the threshold. She moved beside me and the stench nearly made me faint. How long had it been since she changed clothes? Months? I was thinking of having a coffee, so you could join me. Have you already had one today? I'm no expert, so I won't brag, but I don't make mud either. Anything else and I wouldn't, you know. Coffee, I drink it by the pot. Mom says I'm a real expert at drinking it. I laughed at my own joke, faced with her expression of dry curiosity. Makes some people's stomachs churn, and some people can't get to sleep, but maybe you? I can have a dozen cups, no problem. I lose sleep over other things. Money? Women? She spit out rudely, like a detective or a gangster. Anything, really. What a smell. Jesus Christ. I couldn't even think. I'm leaving the door open, she cut in, since there's no one around, you know. No good people or bad people. No thieves, either. Right. Right. I started to get uncomfortable. Even full ventilation couldn't have done much. It's just a habit for me. You're right. If there's no one here, who's going to come in? In Vigo, it would be reckless, you know? That's how city life is. People are afraid of each other. They don't want to interact. It's normal. Within half an hour, rats, beetles, flies, a magpie, and a damselfly had come in. Mom says country villages are made for animals. She doesn't understand why people insist on living against their nature. The wildest people go to the city, and the most civilized flee to the mountains. Then there were the two of us, Mom and me, a group of our own. We weren't wild animals, but all forms of residence were hostile to us. For example, Mom had inherited a shed in Ardania, in the country, which reminded her of her origins, and she took it as an insult. She sold it without even making a trip there, went through an agency, and didn't get much for it. She said that when the world went crazy and finally accepted us, to us, it would just seem like a pile of shit. Us, I protested. You and I are different, Mom. You ain't anything alike. She looked at me the way a teacher looks at the kids who rediscover the Nile, or the center of the universe, year after year, and rebel against everything. You and I, she said. Look me in the eyes. Intentionally or not, Mom always adorned her sentences with obscure codes. She left her thoughts half finished, and when I turned them over in my head, gave them an added mystery, always assuming she meant what scared me most. Well, what scared me, or attracted me. The woman currently paying me a visit was staring at the computer. She had never seen one, and we surfed around the web, looking up places in the Ancares, children's music, women's fashion. We went to Editorial Universo's webpage and gazed at the photos from the prize dinner. That's me, I said. I put some cotton balls up my nose to deal with the smell, and my voice went nasal. And there's Jordi Pujol, the Catalonian president, before he retired. I showed her some pictures of Vigo in the bay. The sky was blue, and the sand on the Morrazo and Cías beaches was gleaming in the background. It's live, I informed her. Which house is yours? She asked. My house? I exclaimed. You can't see it. Around here, more or less. I pointed at the panoramic photo on the screen. Are there people there, or did everyone leave? Right now? Mom probably is. My mother. She brought her face up a couple of inches from the image and concluded, It's true. You can't see it. Have you been there, ma'am? I inquired. Are you familiar with it? She stared more eagerly at the Morrazo Peninsula, the Theas Islands, and the San Simon Inlet. And what's that? The keyboard. The letters. You press them down and it writes on the screen. That's the screen. Who writes them? They do. Can you tell them apart? Yes. Always? Always. I haven't but gone down for some festivals in Navia de Suarna. The last time was to go to the savings bank and the town council to take care of my pension. To Navia, never farther. You can't get back in a day if you go any farther. Where would I sleep? You've never seen the ocean? She wanted to go outside to pee, so I showed her the bathroom. Before going in, she admired its cleanliness and confessed. Years ago, her eyes were glistening out of irritation or tearfulness. I promised myself that when I started to collect my pension, I would gorge myself on yogurt, one every day. The store-bought kind, not curdled milk with sugar. I was stupid back then. I'd never done something like that before, and I said it into the wrong people's ears. That's right. They laughed at my expense as much as their lungs could take. They wouldn't have done it to any other lady in the town. They did it with me because, well, it was me. She took a breath. The time came. She took a breath. The time came, and I couldn't eat the yogurts because I didn't have a refrigerator. By then, almost everyone had left, died, or forgotten. Everyone but me, and nobody laughed anymore. She smiled bitterly and went into the bathroom. She ran her filthy hands along the walls, starting with her fingers and then her fingertips, leaving a trail of grime on the tiles. She turned around, stepped carefully onto the rug, and closed the door. It's not because of thieves, she assured me. I'm an only child to a single mother. I have plenty of experience in that realm, and I pay my debts religiously and without complaint. You must think that the fact that I'm writing in solitude means I'm trying to do some reflection. But no one's going to ask me for answers, and I don't have to weigh the emotional or aesthetic impact of every clause. Talking to you is like playing solitaire. I know that. All I need to have in mind is my limited space, how much blank paper is left. No pacing myself or being ashamed. You can read it however you like. I'm writing the way I want to. I don't care if everything I say is idiotic. I won't blush, and I'm not going to succeed or fail based on your impressions. It was the unexpectedness of the situation that day, or rather our difference in age, culture, temperament, and origin, along with that way she had of watching, the mysteriousness of her unfinished sentences, and even the story of how she'd become the butt of a joke, that led me to conclude that this woman moved about with a sort of aura around her. That's right, an aura. Is there a problem? Her name suited her well. Aurora. I can't remember if I thought of it that quickly. The past flattens things out. In the moment you're telling things, it doesn't matter whether they happened 20 days or 20 years ago. Beyond that, her aura also inspired a combination of respect, magic, and attraction in me. But I have to admit, I wouldn't recognize myself if I had those kinds of weaknesses sticking out of me. If someone were going to read this, I would never have written it. Dozens of classic authors have come before me and said similar things, but I'm always serious. Seriously serious. Seriously, 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 seriously serious to infinity and beyond. I never twist my words. All fiction chooses its readers, and mine would have to be either fictasmal or fantitious. Not you. When I say you, the license, I'm talking about the other eyes that are fighting inside me, listening right now with cynical, evil intent. That's not it either. I'm inventing you all for the occasion. This act of writing is so oralized that I'm doing it in Galician. That is, seriously. I made the coffee and waited. Maybe a yogurt. What was that story all about? I stared at the fridge as if it were the transfiguration of a spaceship or a nuclear reactor, a nitroglycerin shipment, a gigantic, oily crab coming towards me out of the deep sea, a car race that I had to watch right from in the middle of the track. A smart bomb, a scorpion's nest, the belly of a queen termite. Its humming entered my ears and I moved away with a shiver. I could hear the animals below, the flies, the magpie, the sparrows, the damselfly. I went down to shoo them off, and when I came back up, I inquired in front of the bathroom. Are you all right, Miss Aurora? There was no answer. I breathed on the door and watched the condensation shrink against the wood. Do you need anything? No, thank you, child. If you need anything, just ask. There's basically everything you could ever need in the drawers. Well, not everything. What was taking her so long in there? What could I do? Then, all of a sudden, she came out. I jumped up in a pirouette. She asked, "How old are you?" "Me? How old?" I hadn't told her my name, and the lady was asking how old I was, to make herself seem superior. Knowledge is power. "Yes, sir, you. I hope I'm not embarrassing you." 33 years old, I said nonchalantly. I brought over 2 small mugs of coffee and placed them on the table, then grabbed the sugar and screwed off the top. I had brooded endlessly during her absence. Truthfully, all I did was stare at the fridge while I waited. "Oh, and please, no need to call me sir." I'm 74, maybe a summer more or winter less. I'll die any day now, and I don't have anyone to put me in the earth. The crows will be happy, no sense avoiding it. I'd almost rather it be the crows than the worms. Rather it be pain than rotting. "Don't say that, Miss Aurora. It was a joke, child. Be better to die after how long I've been dead. If God's keeping track, he knows I'm not afraid of death anymore. And if he needs a map of hell, I can chart it for him. No one can escape death. No, not if God wants. But it's funny that the woman who enjoys life the least would take the longest to die. Have you ever seen a dead person rotting?" "Person? No, just animals. It's all the same." I looked for a way to cut her off, so that my tongue wouldn't get the best of me and she wouldn't get out of hand and come at me whining about how her children and her cousins had forgotten her after they'd taken advantage of her, or launch into a long rosary, where instead of beads, it would be all the ailments she had been overcome by, aura pro nobis. Arthritis, cataracts, neck, dizzy spells, gums. Pray for us. I grabbed hold of my literature and changed the subject. "Do you know how to read and write, ma'am? It's a wonderful pastime for some older people. It would get you out of your routine. Like reading a short book with large print or keeping a diary if it doesn't tire your eyes. Today, I went to look for herbs. The cold hasn't come yet this winter. Simple things. The river overflowed. A man appeared in the village. There are tons of large print books. You'd never think it. It must be because they all have a bit of fantasy and parable to them. Chronicle of a Death Foretold, The Old Man and the Sea, The Pearl, Heart of Darkness, Marco Valdo, Pedro Paramo, The Metamorphosis, The Stranger, Bartleby. There are tons. If it doesn't tire your eyes, you should try. I could even send you some." Poor old woman. What did she know? "There are no books here," she thundered. "Some appeared in a nearby village, and nothing good came of it. No letters, or school, or priest, or judge. There's about as much need for them as the devil. Where do you see letters around here? Anyone who learned their letters already read the signs and ran off. To Lugo, to Barcelona. The signs. Maybe it was the signs that took people from here. My eyes don't get tired. It's the rest of it that tires me. And don't call me miss or ma'am. Don't make me feel as old as time." All right, then. She was going to come at me with the ailment. I had to act fast. "What about a TV? I don't know a single older person who doesn't kill a good bit of time in front of the television. A lot of them go on it and tell their story." I was willing to interrogate her just to keep her from interrogating me. I was playing defense by going on the attack and wriggling around to out-of-reach topics. She remained condescending, the way a grandmother who lived through a war would look at a child playing with tin soldiers and toy cannons. Of course, I didn't see it like that at the time. I thought I had the upper hand. The lady was in my house and didn't understand a thing. In her eyes, I could pass for a theoretical scientist or a fearless adventurer. All she could do was be led through or left behind in the jungle of technicalities. The old woman. "Don't you feel lonely? Don't you have family elsewhere?" She parried with the thing about the yogurts, the pension, and the refrigerator, continuing to stare at my fridge in bewilderment. If it seemed to me like a monster, what would it have seemed like to her? The Tree of Knowledge, the monolith in 2001, the Chernobyl reactor, the God of the Old Testament? When she still ordered the renovations and I saw the workers come, she didn't take her eyes off the Zanussi, I figured he was going to install one of these things. The men would pick up their beer bottles, spit on the ground, wash their tools, and go back to town to sleep. Then I would walk by the locked house and imagine it was there, on the other side of the door. Is it easy to use?" she asked. "The fridge?" I was dumbstruck. "You just open the door and stick your hand in to get whatever you want. Simple as that." When you open it, a light turns on. You can open it in the dark and the food gets lit up, like a shrine. The top part cools and the bottom freezes. I opened the icebox and the cloud rolled down to the kitchen floor. Wintertime, straight from her heart. I opened the icebox and the cloud came out again. It was like showing off a new car. Something like that, I concluded. You must have to plunk it in, or however on earth you say it. Plug it in? She nodded uncertainly. That's right, I said. You have to have a current and plug it in. That, or turn it into a cupboard. From what the landlord told me, he brought the electrical line. There wasn't one before. But you can get current from a gas generator. I don't know about solar panels here in the valley. Anyway, it wouldn't be worth it for you, ma'am. The electrical line is easiest. Don't you see, young man? Nothing in life comes easily. And stop calling me ma'am, damn it, she snapped. When I made my promise, I thought it would be like a bread trough. Open the hatch and take something out, like you're picking up eggs from the chicken coop or grabbing fruit from low-hanging branches. The problems came afterwards. That's why it's best not to promise anything. They say it's bad to swallow your dreams, but nobody says that talking too much is worse. I thought the same, but I didn't want to give her the satisfaction of my agreement. If she hated confiding, why was she doing it with me? It's different with you, she said immediately. The old witch. So many years waiting. The thing with the yogurts became a challenge that ultimately ended in failure, coinciding with her old age. She had avoided answering me about her family, and I figured they didn't get along too well. If I'd eaten yogurt when I was younger, I'd have more teeth and better bones, she lamented. Take a look at yourself if you don't believe me. I'm sure they filled you up with it when you were a boy. You can probably tell them apart just by the smell. You open the fridge, like you said, and that's that. It doesn't mean anything else to you. I shrugged. Can I see your teeth? What the hell? I gulped and showed them to her, uneasy like a horse that knew which breeder was going to buy it at the fair, and this wasn't him. Your mother probably ate yogurt too. Is she still alive? 52 years old, I replied. Well, she'll probably have her good health for years. She's a spring chicken. She must be eating yogurt, I'm sure. I'm sure you also have a fridge and current to plunk it up with over in Vigo. How could you not? I'll bet even your grandmothers are alive. One grandmother. Dry, restrained, almost constipated. And then I shit myself. Mom was single when she had me, and I never knew who my father was. She would tell me it wasn't worth knowing, and then I stopped asking. At school, I even convinced myself I deserved all the taunting from my classmates and didn't bother to look. In my mind, a father was an enemy. Of all the fathers in the world, none of them wanted to be mine, you know? Once I started getting smarter, I became obsessed with searching for him among the people we knew. I looked for resemblances in the mirror, studied my neighbors' and cousins' noses and chins and ears. I compared myself with the pictures of every dead person that had some relationship to my mother. And there was a part of me in all of them, like how when you study any combination of numbers, a pattern always appears. I thought back to the treatment I got from the man who came by the house when I was a kid, who gave me a few pesos and who a kiss, who took me in their arms, who would look at me with something between sadness and mistrust, who with indifference. I tried to remember Mom's attitude towards them and thought I could see resentment here and warmth or nervousness there. Nothing definitive, just suspicions, and a father had an unmistakable sign, my blood itself, something he would wear on his face, something I could smell from afar. Mom was right. We didn't need a father. As time went on, I dug through the list of famous artists, scientists, and writers from back then who were single-parent children. There are more than you would think, and I felt like I had something in common with them, a heroic sadness. We all carry our own burdens. I was going to respond in some way, but she continued, except that some of us also live inside it, in Apena. She raised her eyes and concluded, I only say live to put a word to it. I'm going to wash the mugs. Would you like another? No, that's all right. Thank you. The neighbors and your mother, do they treat her well? Do they count on her? Just the normal amount. It's she who doesn't talk to some of them. According to Mom, with enough time, you'll piss off even your best friends. Does she have any? No. How about your grandmother, then? Does she live with you? How old is she? I'll bet you get along great, and she used to sing you old folk songs and tell you stories about Moors and curses before you went to bed. The conversation was falling apart, and it was partly my fault. My grandmother singing songs, what an idea. She's older than you, ma'am, I said, and she probably was, because she's about to turn 75. My grandmother is crazy, I went on. She has to be bathed and fed with a spoon. She spends the day grumbling while she farts and digs her finger into her nose so she can eat the boogers. She wears diapers, and even still, the whole apartment still stinks like pee. The journalist from Madrid would have loved that ethnic touch. She cries nonstop at night and bangs her head on the furniture. She doesn't sing. Aurora didn't do or say a thing, so I'd said nothing at all, or nothing interesting. All she did was hint at a compassionate expression. This is what I got out of becoming famous and a millionaire. I went to the fridge and grabbed a vanilla yogurt. I saw the way it made her heart pick up. I opened it for her. She started to cry silently. The scene could have been described as dramatic and moving. She, the yogurt. But it also wouldn't have been wrong to see it as funny or grotesque. She, the yogurt. I tried to console her by stroking her hands and tangled hair. Was this really happening? To me? I cursed the day I decided to cast myself away in the goddamn countryside. What could you expect from a fraud who shipwrecks on purpose? My fate was just the same as that writer in Miss Lonely Hearts, another large print book, who goes into a bar full of depraved, horny men in order to familiarize herself. Fucking fate.